The words of God given to us today are from Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. It is page 49 in the New Testament. The words are from Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. Allow me to read the words. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You were with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're the one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Amen. A change in a person or a community begins once an occurrence of leaving and following first takes place. Abraham, who left the house of his father in his native land and followed the words of God, is called the forefather of faith. Moses, who left his position as the son of a princess of Egypt after 40 years, became the witness of Exodus. Rahab, a prostitute, by leaving her life stage of Jericho and following God's people, had her name be entered on the stage of God's history. Ruth also left her homeland where she had lived and followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, and thereby became a part of the family tree of Christ. Salvation happened by Jesus Christ leaving his heavenly throne and following the will of his Father. The New and the Old Testaments tell us that a change happens when a person or a community which lived life of true transformation leaves. Resolving to leave takes courage. If one does not have genuine courage, he or she cannot experience leaving. It is the same for following. Courage is also needed to follow. When one has genuine courage, the person comes to follow the way, the truth, and the life. But in today's text, we see a disciple who was captive to fear. The Gospels witness that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. It declares that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came to us in person in order to save us. It testifies that God wants us to believe in his only Son, Jesus Christ, bear fruit of the Spirit while we live, and thereafter live forever as the citizens of God's kingdom. But people did not recognize Savior Jesus Christ. They turned God's only Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, into a sinner. And according to their schemes, they made Jesus stand as the accused. People made the Lord, who did not defend himself, although he had the power to do so, who could win over them merely with words, but who did not want to fight, stand as the accused. While Jesus was being questioned, the disciple Peter went into the courtyard of the house of the chief priest. Although he managed to enter the courtyard, he mingled with the crowd of house servants of the chief priest, standing far from Jesus, as if he was someone who had nothing to do with Jesus. Verse 58 tells us that Peter went as far as he did in order to see what would be the ending of Jesus being arrested. Quite a courage must have been needed for Peter to follow Jesus, who was arrested. Peter's heart must have been filled with fear, although a mere 2 or 3 hours ago, it was filled with courage that led him to cut off the ear of the servant of the chief priest. And so Peter hid himself among a crowd, not the crowd to which he belonged to in normal times, but in a different crowd. In a situation where courage and fear existed together, Peter heard Jesus say that on the last day of this world, he will come again riding clouds to crowds surrounding the chief priest. These words of the Lord were the same words that he had heard directly from the Lord many times after he had confessed his faith in the Lord. Peter, who was among the house servants of the chief priest, had confidentially said before that he would never betray Jesus. But a great fear, too big for him to call upon his courage, as a time when he had taken out his sword against the crowd who had come to arrest Jesus at Gethsemane, overcame him. And so he became a man of gray zone between courage and fear and sat among the house servants of the chief priest. At that time, a girl servant approached him. She questioned whether he was one of the persons who was with the Galilean man, Jesus. And Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about," in front of people who were there, and quickly denied his relationship with the Lord. In the same way that an instinct to protect oneself takes over when a car comes towards a person, Peter denied the Lord out of his self-protective instinct. Even before he realized what he had said as a response, he left that place out of instinct again. He hid himself at another place, unable to shake off the shadow cast by fear, but it was not a safe place either. He says this after being questioned by another girl servant as to whether he was one of the people who was with Jesus of Nazareth. This is from verse 72. He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." Peter, this time, denied that he knew Jesus more strongly than he had been questioned the first time. This time, he not only denied knowing Jesus, but he even enlisted an oath. Jewish people had a tradition of declaring an oath before saying what was true. Peter went so far as calling Jesus into third person as that man and did everything to escape danger. After his oath and his denial, he hoped that no one else will come along and link him to Jesus. But contrary to his hope, people who were around him again made him panic. This is from verse 73. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely, you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." Among people who were standing next to him, there was a relative, Margot, who had his ear cut off by Peter. This person heard among the people who had gathered around the fire that a person who was close to Jesus was among them. So he went up to Peter, still excited over what had happened to Margot, and accused Peter that surely he was one of those who was with Jesus. People around Peter, upon hearing the relative Margot accusing Peter with such confidence, also came to believe that Peter was with Jesus and demanded that Peter tell the truth, noting that Peter's accent was proof. The northern Galilean accent could immediately be distinguished with the accent of southern Judean region, which was more refined in sound. Some from Gyeongsangdo province pronounces sai in Korean as hai. In the same way, it is said that the people from Galilee were not able to pronounce Hebrew alphabets such as aleph, hey, or ein, that had to be pronounced from the back of the head clearly, and they pronounced the second alphabet bet as pei, and the 22nd alphabet, shin, a tau. So Peter, who would have spoken a Galilean dialect, would have said tu, which means a person in Hebrew, rather than ish, when he said that man. Noting this particular dialect, people assumed that Peter was one of the people who were with Jesus. At the time of the judge Iptah, a fierce fighting broke out between people of Gilead and Ephraim over the river Jordan. the people of Ephraim who lost a battle had to cross the River Jordan in order to escape retribution and return home. But people of Gilead were already guarding the riverfront. Because they were all of the same race, it was difficult to tell them apart based on physical appearance. So people of Gilead, in order to pick out people of Ephraim, made those who were trying to cross the Jordan River to say the word Shibboleth, which means river. Anyone who pronounced that word with S sound rather than SH sound were killed. Those who were killed numbered more than 42,000. Peter, when he faced focused inquiry based on his accent, responded as follows out of panic. This is from the first part of verse 74. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." If one were to ask Peter, when was the most regretful moment in his life, he would have said, the moment portrayed in today's text. For Peter, what happened that day would have been a moment that he would have wanted to hide and erase. Peter is called as a lead disciple among the 12 disciples of Jesus. This was because he was the oldest, and also probably due to the fact that he acted before anyone else, given his tendency to impatience. Peter's fast actions and words, which at times were done without thinking and even bordered on recklessness, served as model for other disciples, but also served as a cause for his failing. He asked Jesus to enable him to walk on water. But as he went towards Jesus walking on water, he experienced falling into the sea the minute he overcame with fear upon seeing the storm. By confessing that Jesus is Christ and Son of living God to the Lord, who asked what people said of him at Caesarea Philippi, he received the best compliment from Jesus. But after hearing about the suffering the Lord was to endure in the future, he tried to stop Jesus and ended up receiving a severe rebuke from Jesus when he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He declared confidently that he would never forsake Jesus, even if he were to die, upon hearing that all were forsake him from Jesus. He cursed and swore an oath that he did not know the Lord in order to save his life. There is a principle which states that the original frame never changes. This is often invoked to mean that it is impossible to change something fundamental by giving a bit of an alteration to the original. The saying is sometimes used when there isn't a whole lot of improvement in appearance after undergoing a plastic surgery. This is true not only for a person's appearance, but the person's inner character as well. It is difficult to change the inner character by investing in expensive private education. But there are occasions that a person changes through witnessing a genuine sacrifice. There are instances in which a child who caused a lot of heartache for his or her parents changed upon realizing that his or her parents had prayed for years with tears for him or her. And at times, a life changes because of a devoted spouse or a teacher. Peter, who had been denying Jesus, at last had a realization when the rooster crowed, as Jesus has predicted. Through the words of Jesus, Peter at last met the foolish and arrogant self. He began to realize at last what he was saying. The only thing he could do after being left with fearful realization and shame was to run outside and cry in bitterness. The story of today's text is about a betrayal of a disciple whom Jesus loved, a betrayal of a disciple who bragged that he would never abandon, never deny the Lord, although he may die with the Lord. Peter, who always took the lead on matters concerning Jesus, even went as far as cutting off an ear of a servant of chief priest among the crowds that came to arrest Jesus in order to protect the Lord. But when the Lord was surrounded by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders to be questioned, when people spat at him and mocked him, when the Lord faced the loneliest hour of his life, what Peter was able to do, did do, was betray him. Not only once, but three times, Peter denied knowing the Lord upon being questioned as to whether he was one of those who were with Jesus. When he was questioned the third time, he went so far as to curse and swear. The words of verse 74 does not mean that he cursed Jesus, but that he cursed himself and swore. He was asking God to send down a curse if what he was saying was not true, were not true. Peter could not understand the sayings of Jesus he heard during the normal times, and sometimes what Jesus said and how he acted rubbed against him. And so without thinking deeply about each saying of Jesus, he confidently declared that he could die with the Lord. He did not hear the warning of Jesus, who knew him too well. If we were to find one reason why Peter was not able to hear the Lord, it is arrogance. The characteristic of arrogance is trusting oneself more than anyone and always thinking that one's thought is more truthful than others. Peter believed his conviction more than the words of the Lord, and so he responded to the situation according to his ways. And he responded to the Lord's words within the boundaries of his own thinking. And so ultimately, he passionately ended up denying Jesus before a crowd, distanced himself from Jesus at the moment when Jesus was most isolated and lonely. To Peter, who confessed that the Lord is Christ and the only Son of living God, the Lord gave him the key to heaven. Peter heard the graceful words of Jesus that the power of hell will not overcome him. Peter thought that he was the rock that would never be shaken. But after the Last Supper, he discovered that he was not a rock but a small grain of sand. Peter, who denied the Lord no less than three times, lived with the Lord day in and day out during the time of public ministry of Jesus, but he did not know Jesus in actuality. All of the disciples thought that the Lord was someone who performed miracles, who would be a leader of their nation. They merely thought that if they attached themselves to Jesus, he would give them positions of significance. But Peter remembered the words of the Lord, who knew about him in greater detail than himself, and at last had an understanding. As he understood that the devotion Jesus was paying for was love that transcended death, he came to realize who Jesus was. When he realized that he was still firmly holding on to old things that he thought he had left behind, he understood who the Lord really was. There were three great Renaissance artists who reached the peak of Western art. They are Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Raphael, who lived during the same era. It is said that the sculptor Michelangelo first saw the hidden nature of the marble before he began to work on the sculpture. The statue of David and Pietà are the works created by Michelangelo upon seeing the statues within the marble, and by chipping away and cutting away the parts of the marble that were not the part of the original vision. Michelangelo had the eyes to see the hidden nature of the marble rather than just seeing the marble as just a marble. He worked with the inspiration that could see the original nature of the stone, and because of his spirituality that could see such original nature, he was able to create great works of art. While Peter was with Jesus day in and day out, he could not see Jesus for as the absolute being. But when he witnessed the event of the cross of Christ, he at last came to understand that the Lord was the Savior. The moment the rooster crowed and he remembered the words of the Lord, the moment the tears of agony started to flow from his eyes, he was able to see the original nature. What was the original nature that Peter discovered? It was the love of God, that love to the extent of allowing his only son to be nailed on the cross. Through a novel titled Life of Jesus by Endo Shushaku, a Japanese writer, he assessed Jesus' disciples as foolish, cowardly, and base. But he concluded that these disciples transformed into a unified group who did not hesitate martyrdom. What would have brought about such transformation? It is the love of God. The disciples, who had no idea, did not have hearts that could understand that Jesus was saying, Jesus' sayings, like good fields. It was when the disciples, who had stood in distance in cowardly way, at last understood the love of God, that the community of disciples was able to turn into a community of apostles, a community of rock that took on martyrdom. There was a gospel song that did not leave me while I was preparing for the sermon on today's text. Ironically, I heard the sound of Peter's bitter tears and his crying, transformed as the gospel song with the title, There is a Beautiful Story. The lyric goes like this. There is a beautiful story, the story of Savior's love. The love that left glorious heaven in order to save a sinner like me. Among lots and lots of people in this wide, wide universe, I, as a saved and protected one, live with the love of the Lord. People cannot understand the love of God that sent the Lord. This love makes me live the love of redemption in Galilee. Amazing, 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 the love of the Lord. Truly amazing, the love of the Lord. His love for me. The love of God that led cowardly Peter to a place where he stood, the place of lamentation. This great love of the cross filled Peter's soul, who had failed Jesus. The love that cannot be recorded, even if the sky were the scroll and the sea were the ink, filled Peter. And Peter, upon being filled with this love, was able to live the latter part of his life meaningfully as a rock. There is a short story of Alphonse Daudet titled The Last Lesson. Franz, a young boy who lived in the Alsace region of France, loved to play rather than studying, and as usual, he was late to class. The teacher, who had normally would have scolded him, welcomed Franz with gentle and kind voice. But when he entered the classroom, he realized that something was strange. Unlike other days, the grown-ups from the village were sitting in the classroom. The grown-ups were attentively listening to Mr. Amel, the teacher, with their French text that they had learned as children in front of them. The teacher was wearing a formal suit that he wore only on days when a school inspector visited the school. He went up to the podium and said with a gentle voice, "An order came from Berlin. All schools in Alsace-Lorraine, which is now a part of Germany, must give lessons in German instead of French." And he has said that day was the last day on which lessons would be given in French. When the lesson ended, Franz deeply regretted that he was lax in learning French. We all think that the time given to us will naturally continue, and there will always be plenty of opportunities. As we live thinking the life will continue on forever, And there will always be opportunities we can meet the last hour of our life. We may mistakenly think that we can move away from secular values anytime we want and may face the end of our lives. We may live thinking that there will always be opportunities, but come to the end of our days without having followed the eternal truth. But if we live each moment thinking that it could be our last, we would not think lightly of what we need to do today. And we would not easily put off taking hold of something until tomorrow that we should grasp today. It is when we become conscious of the fact that today can be the last day allowed to us by God, we can fix our eyes on the Lord. Peter, who lived nearer to the Lord than anyone else, did not really know Jesus, as his words of betrayal show. He did not understand the meaning of the words that the Lord has spoken. But when the God of love came to Peter, who had failed and was in despair, he was able to move away from the secular values that he had held on to. And when the love of God filled his soul to the full, and his eyes became fixed on the Lord, he was at last able to become the fisher of men, the model for the sheep, as he fed God's sheep. Peter, who recovered with the love of God, tells us this in 1 Peter. The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and be of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. The God of love has come to us, who only have shame to show for, even today. He comes to us, who are lax and full of despair, and calls us to be of sober mind and to pray. I pray that this will be a week in which we clean and order our souls so that the Lord can dwell within us without discomfort. And it is my hope that all of us will pay attention today too to the words of the Lord that lead us to a life without regret and live as witnesses of God who has come to us in each of our life stations. Let us pray. God of love, Peter, who was confident and appeared strong, was a weak man until he understood the grace of atonement on the cross. God, you have embraced Peter, who had realized that he was a sinner and repented with tears, with love. Have mercy on us, who continue to live in fear due to our arrogance, stubbornness, weakness, and laxness. Help us to put a stop to the foolish thought, which assumes that we are naturally entitled to the time given to us, that they will continue forever, and we'll always have opportunities. We desire to live today following after Jesus, who established Peter as a solid rock. Be with us so that we can fill the life station you have given us with love of God. As we meet our loving family members of the Lunar New Year holidays that begin tomorrow, may we be filled with fragrance of Christ and fill the days with blessed hours in which we serve as the witness of God's love. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.